Tonight we'll experience together the fulfillment of the promise angels made the first Christmas Eve when they said, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy which shall be to all the people. For unto us is born this night in Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Christmas joy, that's what it's about tonight. Joy for the children, joy for the adults, a night in which memories are made. It's in the expectation that God is about to share that priceless gift of joy with every one of us, regardless of the circumstances that you're in tonight. That expectation causes me to welcome you to the loveliest night of the year. Let's stand and praise our Lord. And you may be seated. Christmas joy is our theme, You can't imagine how good you all look tonight. This is just a joy to be together, crammed into the Lord's house, seeking that elusive treasure called Christmas joy. Now, Christmas joy is rooted in many sources. First, we'd like to give you one happy expression from the secular world. Christians are people that are people of joy. But we find our joy in a person, in the person of Jesus Christ, in contrast to reindeer and frosted window panes and Santa's sleigh. Now, certainly these secular symbols are important ingredients to Christmas, emotionally at least. However, reindeer and frosted window panes can't heal our hearts after life has bombarded us with some of its greatest hurts. Some of you are in pain tonight that's far too deep for these surface symbols to touch. And therefore, it becomes appropriate here in church to talk about Christmas, which is to talk about Jesus Christ and about his power as the Son of God to give us a fullness of joy that's greater than any pain in our hearts. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus has come to us. He's here tonight, here near us with the children, right in the midst of this packed house. And in spite of the circumstances that you brought with you, in spite perhaps of your skepticism of expecting anything tonight, we can promise you a miracle if you're open to it. We can know Christmas joy.
Above thy day.
We'd like you to begin to put a spotlight on a manger, one that we've heard about since childhood, and upon a child lying in a manger. And perhaps to begin to push out all of the activity of these weeks of getting ready for Christmas. The packages are now wrapped. You've finished the last trip to the shopping center. And you've come here tonight with it all over. And now you're ready to focus on Christmas. The hopes and the fears of all the years are met not in a show for Christmas, but they're met in the person of Jesus Christ. Christmas joy has its source in Jesus, because he alone is big enough to help us when we cannot help ourselves. Because everything else we trust tonight is subject to change. Relationships can deteriorate. Money can be lost. Families can break apart. Health fails. Bodies grow old. But through the years, the hopes and the fears are met in Christ, because he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And after 2 millennia, the world is gathering at his feet tonight. Now, we know on Christmas Eve, there are always many who feel so complete that you feel no need for Jesus. This is a beautiful pageant, but the content doesn't quite get through. Let me remind you of two things. First, all blessings that make you feel complete tonight, health, success, security, those are gifts from God. Gifts that should lead us to worship and to gratitude, because you're no more capable of getting them in your own strength than you could make it rain, as it's just done so beautifully this week. The second thing, every blessing that makes us feel complete this evening, time will eventually rip out of our grasp. Jesus is the one treasure that remains when everything else has gone. That's the news that we celebrate tonight. News that Jesus is with us and he gives us a source of joy, because he will never leave us. He's the spring of joy from which we bring our cups, and underneath that spring we will fill them in this worship service together.
Thank you.
finding joy in Jesus Christ becomes attractive on Christmas Eve simply because we're gathered here for a worship service that's traditional. However, joy in Jesus Christ becomes very attractive when we reach a point in life where our own resources prove inadequate to cope with what life is throwing at us. And if you find yourself in that situation tonight, you need to know that our agenda as a staff of this church, in worshiping tonight, everything in this evening is geared to you who might have a need for Jesus. You see, God could be wooing you to turn to his Son in faith tonight. That's the whole meaning behind Christmas. That's why he came. Every Christmas Eve, God seems to touch certain people who become Christians right here in church. Happens every year, and that thrills us. The Bible promises, and it's something so simple a child can understand, the Bible promises that if a person prays, asking Jesus into their lives as Lord and Savior, that individual becomes a Christian. In that sense, Christmas happens for the first time to that person. Their sins are forgiven. Jesus becomes a partner and a friend, and they become members of God's forever family. Now, we've never done this before Christmas Eve, but we are so convinced that God is at work in this community and perhaps in your life tonight, that right in the middle of the service, I want to invite those who might feel a nudge to reach out to Jesus. Maybe you've been coming off and on here to church for years, but something has brought you here tonight and you know you want to do business between you and God. Jesus made it very simple. He said, if we'll give a prayer, using the words that I'm going to use, that we can become a Christian, we can find Christ as our Savior, and that's all there is to it. If it was more complicated, it would probably cater to our pride. But it's this simple, and I would ask everyone with me tonight to bow your head right now where you sit, and I'm going to pray this prayer. And if maybe you came here looking for the Christ of Christmas, I invite you to pray it with me. Jesus, after hearing about you for so many years, tonight I want to accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I realize you're the only way I can get things right between God and myself. Thank you for dying on the cross to make this miracle of change possible. I accept your friendship, your gift of forgiveness, your new beginnings, and the life eternal that you promised, even though I don't yet fully understand this whole process. Tonight I want to say thank you for dying for me, and I want this next song to be my adoration and my praise of you, my Savior and my Lord.
Thank you.
I want to say at this part of the service that this is the children's service, and it's okay to wiggle, and if they have to yell, that's okay. I was happy one responded during my prayer, and that's why Jesus said, allow little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So parents, relax. I want them to have a happy memory tonight, not with their hands over their mouth and making them feel miserable here. Let's enjoy it. If by chance this is a night where you prayed to receive Christ, I would like you to write me. There's probably no other way I can make a contact with you. But let me know so we can help you on your spiritual journey. We really believe that God's going to touch some lives tonight. And again, we said that's our agenda. Because as you just heard in this anthem, this child of Bethlehem was also a child of the cross. And he carried our griefs and he bore our sorrows, even to the point of dying for us so that we could live. And now he lives to transform our earthly sorrow into eternal joy.
Upon a winter night,
As we prepared for this service tonight, we wanted two things, hopefully, from God's grace to happen to us on Christmas Eve. First, those who don't know Jesus as Savior, we hope this might be the moment when you would find him as the Christ of Christmas and Lord of your life. But secondly, for those who know Jesus as Savior, that this could be a night of trusting him at a new depth for the fears and the hurts and the needs that might be robbing you of Christmas joy this year. Now, if these miracles of faith happen in this sanctuary, we're going to look back on this evening for what it is, a very holy night. Let's sing this next carol as a confession of faith and of trust in Jesus Christ. Could we stand and sing, "Joy to the World"? You may be seated. Tonight we're talking about the God who came to us at Christmas time, a God who is still with us, still answering prayers, still involved in our lives. This wreath that you see here in front of you is full of rosebuds, and each one of those rosebuds represents an answer to prayer that last Christmas Eve was somebody's impossible dream. We gave these roses out saying, keep them until God does something in your life in an area that right now seems totally impossible, and if it happens, you'll know that God did it. Let me share with you just some vignettes of what that wreath means in terms of the letters behind some of the stories. Some represent lives in shambles by divorce. Families that then found new beginnings. Many hopeless marriages healed. One culminated at 5 o'clock tonight. A couple who was divorced just after Christmas last year was remarried in my office tonight. Prodigal sons and daughters with every imaginable problem finding healing, and many of them back home this year, and they were gone last year. Babies adopted and conceived when parents had given up hope of ever having a child. Jobs found and new directions for life's work discovered even at one's mid-course in life's journey. And then bodies healed of disease. Before I tell you our Christmas story tonight, I want to affirm that God has not only said yes, he has said no to many needs in our church family. We're not talking magic. Many Christians are called to endure an intense no from God. And in heaven, the mystery of why some prayers are answered and others seemingly ignored will be unveiled. Until then, we wait in faith. But for our traditional Christmas story tonight, I want to share a miracle. Not one out of a book, but one that happened right here in our church family this last year. A story behind one of the roses on our wreath. Dale and Ann Ort have a son named Eric. He was born with calcified rings around his trachea. As he grew, his air supply diminished. It was predicted he would not live past 3 months. After a long struggle of many doctors, oxygen bottles, and lots of crying, miraculously, Eric lived past the 3-month deadline. A trach was installed, enabling him to breathe. Step by step, this child was able to grow in a semi-normal fashion, even entering public school. However, in January of 1987, Eric had a routine check on his trach, and The doctors reported no growth in his air supply, and there was nothing else they could do. In May of 87, Eric's case was presented to a worldwide conference of doctors in Denver. The answer from the conference was totally pessimistic. Everything that could be done was already being done. In other words, the case was hopeless. At the end of May 87, Eric was sent to Disneyland through the Make-A-Wish program. Without speaking the words, both parents asked the question, was this our last trip together? The hot weather of summer was hard on Eric. His energy level slowly declined. And yet he had an amazing peace throughout this whole experience, knowing if he died, he'd be home in heaven with his heavenly Father, and there he would have a perfect body. Many times his parents wished that they could share Eric's sense of God's peace. As Christmas 87 approached last year, Eric's parents cried more as both felt this was their last Christmas with their son. Christmas passed. People continued to pray. In March of 88, Eric was scheduled for another trach inspection. That examination revealed a miracle had taken place. Unknown to his parents and to the doctors, Eric's airway had grown to the point where not only was he able to breathe, his trach was no longer needed. And his mother writes, "Other than praising God, we didn't know what to do. We were in shock. We cried, we laughed. I was much more skeptical, waiting for, well, we tried it, but it didn't work line." But that line never came. The miracle has continued. Eric's energy level is that of a normal 9-year-old boy. In fact, on Christmas Eve, I want our church family to meet Eric and his parents, Dale and Ann. If you'd come forward, Dale and Ann and Eric, here is living proof our Jesus can heal in response to earnest prayer. And Eric is our Christmas miracle tonight. Let's welcome them. I've got to make a big correction. Eric is 10. Dale, welcome.
Every time that we hear that story, or as tonight we hear it, we want to cry. The Lord has been so good to us. Looking back, there were many hard times. There are also many good times. What we remember the most is that God never forgot us, even when we forgot Him. About 2 years ago, a doctor told us that there was no hope for Eric. Through the continuing prayers of family and friends, God continued to sustain us. At our lowest point, after we fully surrendered to God, God began to perform His miracle. For us, Christmas is a celebration of hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Thank you.
God bless. Glad you're here, God. Hey, Eric, come here. God bless. I'm so glad you're here. Tonight, Jesus stands with His arms wide open, waiting for every one of us to respond to His love and to His power. He wants us to trust Him, to believe that He really did come and He really is here and He really does care about you. He wants us to come close to Him tonight so He can meet us in our area of deepest need.
Child, a helpless little baby.
These candles are going to symbolize the joy that we find in Jesus Christ.
Thank you. peace yourselves, so that your cups, your hearts may be full of love and joy and peace, so full that you might share it with those around you. Amen.
Good night.